and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
So if y'all don't know me, I'm Jeremy Bass. I'm the new pastor here on staff. And More to Life groups are really great. That's one of the areas that I'm overseeing in my new role here. So you can contact the people on the screen, or you can also reach out to me as well. It's a really great ministry that we have here at the church, and it's a great way to stay connected in this time when it feels like everything is so disconnected. And today, I think, is a kind of a vivid reminder of how sometimes technology isn't the savior of everything. But you know what? Jesus is still in control, and we serve a good God. So we're in the end of our sermon series on what's next, talking about where is God leading us individually, and also where is God leading us as a church. And we're looking up the opening kind of chapters of Joshua, looking at how does God transition his people from the wilderness into the promised land, looking at that transitional time in Israel's history. And we're going to be ending it on these intro chapters of Joshua at Joshua 4, verses 1 through 9. So I'm going to be reading that for us real quick. You can either follow up on the screen or pull out your Bibles and follow along with me. Joshua 4, verses 1 through 9. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them down to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So looking a bit at the context of this passage, if you followed along with us, these past 2 weeks we spent the time in Joshua chapter 3, and it's about this miracle that God does in the Jordan River. He stops up the waters of the Jordan where this flowing river was now dry land, so that way God's people could walk from Jordan into the promised land. And it sort of brings back to memories of when God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites when they left Egypt. It's sort of a similar idea and God doing a similar miracle. But this is kind of a weird passage when you just kind of look at it on its face value. God asking his people, go get some stones and go put them down. It's kind of weird. And it's more weird that this is God initiated. If you look at verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Joshua." So God tells Joshua, "I want you to go to the river and I want you to grab some stones. I want you to use those stones to remember me." It's really weird. Sometimes God does weird things in Scripture. And so we're going to be looking a bit more at the weirdness of this, but also the why. Why would God ask his people to do that? And to do that, we need to look a bit about the importance of the Ark of the Covenant. So for those of you who don't know much about Old Testament history, the Ark of the Covenant was sort of the most sacred structure, the most sacred piece of artifact in Israel. It was the mercy seat. If you hear about the Holy of Holies in the New Testament, the spot where only the high priest could enter in once a year, in that Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant dwelt. It was the physical reminder of the very presence of God with Israel. Only the Levites could carry the Ark of the Covenant, and they had to carry it on poles. There's that story in David where someone reached out to touch the Ark of the Covenant, and they died. It was a very holy artifact. Inside the Ark of the Covenant was the two tablets of the covenant, the the law or the Ten Commandments, the covenant tablets are in the Ark of the Covenant. A pot of manna to remind how God miraculously provided for his people are in the Ark of the Covenant. And Aaron's rod, the miraculous thing that Moses used in Egypt, is in the Ark of the Covenant. The holiest place, the holiest kind of touch point in Israel is the Ark of the Covenant. And if you remember, you may not remember, I remembered it because I read that chapter over and over again. Back in chapter 3, when the ark goes ahead of the people of God, the Lord says, I want you to stay back about a quarter of a mile from the ark. So even as the ark is going before them into the Jordan River, the people still had to stay a quarter of a mile away from the ark. And here we kind of have this reversal from distance from the ark to being right up to the foot of the ark. And we're going to be looking at God, the importance of God telling his people to go into the go gather stones right where the ark was stood. Looking at verse 3, it says, tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, right where the Ark of the Covenant is. Going down to verse 5, go over before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. So here the Lord says to his people, I want you to take 12 people, and I want you to go right to the moment of the holiest spot in all of Israel, to enter into this holy moment that God wants for his people. Because God invites us and his people to enter into these holy moments. God invites us to enter into these holy moments like he's doing with his people here, to share in the holiest of space, to enter into the very miracle itself, to enter into the spot where the Jordan River was cut off. And have you ever had a moment like that of entering into the holy space of God, where you've encountered the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in such a profound way that you couldn't help but say, this is a holy moment, this is holy ground that I am standing on. That God invites us to have these moments with him, that God tells us to, invites us into this intimacy where it seems like for so long we're so far off from the Ark of the Covenant, from this holy moment, the otherness of God. And then there are those times when God draws us in to those super holy moments in our lives, that the Lord invites us into holy moments. And I believe that as a church, that God is inviting us into a holy moment in this season of our life. That this pandemic isn't a time where we can just kind of count it off as a lost year. But I believe God's challenging us to say instead, what if during this time where everything is thrown up in the air and everything is unsettled and it just seems like nothing is ever going to be right again, what if this is a moment where God is inviting us into the sacred space, the sacred holy moment before the very throne of God, and God wants to transform us in that holy moment. So not only does God invite us into these spaces, into these holy moments, he also tells us to carry these holy moments out with us. If you look again, we're going to reread verses 5 through 7. Go before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you in the future. When your children ask you, what did these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial forever. God tells his people that not only are you going to enter into the Jordan River, but you're going to take a rock and you're going to carry it back to your camp with you. And then when your children say, what does this stone mean? You're going to tell them the story of God's faithfulness in your life. That we're supposed to carry these holy moments with us back to the camp, with us back to where we camp, where our lives are, where we live our everyday life, that we have these stones, these memorials to the amazing things that God has done, to these moments where we have actually encountered the divine, where we've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, that when we go back into the camp, we don't leave the stones in the riverbed. We don't leave the holy moment there just to be covered up and washed away again.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
But we take a stone with us back to our lives, that we take the story of what God is doing in our midst with us, and we carry it around with us wherever we go. Luke's gospel is the only gospel that's not a direct eyewitness to Jesus. But Luke, he collected all the stories of Jesus and he wrote them down. And so I'm just going to reread the first, not reread, I'm going to read the first opening verses of Luke's gospel. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may be certain of the things you have been taught. So what Luke does is he takes all these stories that are circulating around in the Christian community and he says, you know, we should really write these down. Because really, that's what the heart of the Christian gospel is it's the stories of Jesus entering into our lives. It's the stories of God breaking into human history. That's what the whole Bible is. It's just the story of God intersecting with our lives. And then us going out and telling others about what God has done and who God is. And Luke's gospel gets to the heart of that. We're collecting these stories so that you may know Jesus is alive. This is who Jesus is. And we're going to take these stories with us and we're going to share them with the whole world. So what's next as our church family? We take these stones in the riverbed. We take these stories of these encounters with God, we take them with us, and we carry them back with us as evidence of God moving in our midst, as evidence of God moving among us and how he's interacted with our lives. I'm going to tell you one of my rock stories that happened to me actually last week. So you may have noticed, I don't know if anyone noticed, I have this stick. I had it up here last time I preached. Ryan made a comment, but he's kind of cheating because he's standing up there. So it's a stick that I have on the podium with me. I had it last week, and I have it here this week. And as I was writing my sermon the last time, the Lord kind of threw everything up in the air where he said, I don't want you to talk about this. I want you to talk about something else. And then he never told me what the something else was. So I was freaking out all day Wednesday. I had to record for the traditional service on Thursday. And I'm just freaking out. It's Wednesday evening, and I don't have anything written down. I have no sermon written down. And I was on my way to dinner at Bert's house, and I felt the Lord say to me while I'm driving, if I asked you to take a stick and throw it down on the ground, and I moved in power as a result of your obedience to that, it would be more impactful than the most eloquent sermon you could ever write. I mean, you want to talk about, like, humbling moments. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the God who says, hit the rock with a staff and I'll have water come out of it. And this is a God who met me in that moment of crisis where I was freaking out, where I thought I had to write the perfect sermon for the church to like me. I had to make sure that every word was exact. I had to make sure that I was listening to God perfectly, that if I prayed hard enough, maybe God would give me a good sermon. And the Lord just said to me, you know, it's not about you, Jeremy. It's not about you. It's just about you offering, you being obedient, you just telling people about what I'm doing in your life, telling people about the story of God, sharing the story of God. That's what we're called to do as Christians. We're to take up these holy moments, these stick moments in our lives, these rock moments in our lives where God intersects with our lives and we take it with us back into our community. There'll be times in our lives, maybe you've had a time like this, maybe you haven't had a time like this, where you're at the foot of the Ark of the Covenant and you're just dwelling in this presence with the Lord, and the Lord is doing an amazing thing in your life. And then you have a choice. Am I going to just leave this as it is, or am I going to carry this story back with me? Do we take the stone with us, or do we leave it at the foot of the ark? And I believe this is one of those moments for us where God wants to have a holy moment with us. But not only that, God wants us to take this holy moment in this pandemic season with us into the future and let it be memorial to the Lord our God forever. Don't leave the stone in the riverbed. Don't leave your stone in the riverbed. Erica always tells me whenever God speaks to me, she says, make sure you write that down. It's a little annoying, but you know, she's right. She's right, because if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget. And so many times we leave the Jordan, we leave that holy moment with God, and then when situations come up in our lives in the future, we forget about what God has done. And what the Lord is saying, take this stone up from the Jordan and take it with you, because I know that you are a forgetful people. I know that you have a tendency to forget what I've done in your midst. So take a tangible reminder, take a physical stick from the courtyard of the church and carry it with you every time you go preach on the podium. Take these physical reminders, write down what I tell you, write down how I'm moving in your midst. That way, when you go out from here, you remember that I, the Lord your God, stopped up the waters of the Jordan in your life. I, the Lord your God, did a miracle in your life. I, the Lord your God, am good. A lot of you have reached out to me about thanking me for talking about my anxiety. And really all I'm doing with that is I'm just carrying my stone with me. That all I'm doing is I'm just telling you about what God has done in my life. God has done amazing things in my life. God has done wonderful, transformational things in my life. How could I not share about what the Lord has done? That this is who God is. This is what he has done for me. All I'm doing is just carrying my stone with us. And what would it look like, churches, if we all did this? What if we looked at it? We all have stories of God interacting with your life. That's why you're here. That's why you're still streaming into this service, even though we're not meeting in person. Because deep down, you know, God, at one point in my life, has touched my heart. God has touched my life. And that I need to stay connected with this God. What if we took those moments where God is touching our lives, bringing us into these holy moments, and then we just carry them out with us? What would it look like as if we were a church that was not afraid to share the story of God in our life, even if it made us look weak, even if it made us look foolish? What would our church look like, and how would that transform our community around us? Maybe this is a time where God is inviting you to have a holy moment with him. We all have these holy moments, or at the very least, we all desire to have them. It's a moment where God meets us in our brokenness, meets us in our moment of most need, meets us at the miracle in our lives. Maybe you want a holy moment like this. You want healing from a porn addiction, healing from alcoholism, healing for a broken marriage or a friendship. That you want God to meet you in your depression, your anxiety, or your loneliness. That you want God to meet you in your deepest moment of tragedy and heartache. For God to give a purpose to the aimlessness and purposelessness of your life. That these are these holy moments where God intersects with the brokenness of our lives and brings transformation with them. That God meets us in the River Jordan, where it seems like there's this big, immovable stream in front of us, and God's presence goes before us, cuts off the stream, and God does a miracle in our midst. And then God says, don't forget what I've done for you, and don't forget to tell others what I've done for you, because I love you too dearly to not stop up the Jordan before you. I love you too deeply to not leave you in bondage, of which cause you great shame. I love you too deeply not to stop up the water of the Jordan. But when I do that, don't forget to carry the stone back with you. Don't forget to tell others about how I've moved in your midst. As followers of Jesus, we're not called to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I have some answers, some better than others, but I don't have all the answers. Jesus calls us to be witnesses, to bear witness, which just means tell people the story of me. Just tell people the story of how I've touched your life. Just tell people how I've interacted with your life. Tell people about these holy moments.